Just a few short weeks to go before the schools reopen, and many parents are already worrying about getting a suitable place for their child at the local primary school. And once again, questions are being raised about the pace or the lack of it of the handover by the Catholic Church of school premises to non-Catholic education organisations. The Archbishop of Dublin, Dermot Martin, is committed to the handover of a significant number of premises, but as he has pointed out on a number of occasions, this is a complex issue and there are many reasons for the slow pace. So what can be done to speed up that pace? Labour TD Rory Quinn was Education Minister. He set this process in motion. He's on the line now. On the other line, David Quinn of the Catholic think tank, the Iona Institute. Rory Quinn, to you first. What is the holdup?
I think the holdup is that this has never been done before, and outside Dublin, many of the bishops and many of the religious teaching orders have no enthusiasm for this particular project and are fearful, I suspect, of upsetting some parents and upsetting some vested interests in the 90% of the primary schools that the Catholic Church controls.
And are those justifiable fears?
I think they're understandable. Nobody particularly likes disruptive change, but the country has changed. And there are a large number of people now who feel obliged to have their children baptised as Catholics, when in fact they have no intention of bringing them up as Catholics, are indeed practising the Catholic religion. I don't think that's healthy for our society to have that institutionalised hypocrisy. I'm not saying that there's an easy answer, but there has to be a commitment from the controllers of, for example, in a typical town that was surveyed where the population is static, there might be 9 schools in all, 1 Church of Ireland, 1 Gaelscoil, and 7 Catholic schools. Some way has to be found where there can be some rearrangement of the use of those 7 schools so that people who want to educate together or a community national school can do so without feeling that they have to forcibly be baptising their children when in fact they have no intention of living that way of life.
In terms of resistance, there are difficulties, as Dermot Martin has pointed out. In many cases, the ownership of the building is convoluted. There are legal difficulties, or possible legal difficulties there, and that it could be owned by an organisation or by a trust. There's resistance from parents. And interestingly, Dermot Martin also spoke about local politicians, including some in your own party, speaking out of both sides of their mouth on this issue.
Well, he's referring to one particular deputy in question who was reacting to and following the sentiment of people in a particular area, but that doesn't make an exception and it shouldn't be taken for granted. I think there has to be leadership here. There have been some schools that have transferred. There are other schools that could be transferred. Yes, the problem is for Archbishop Dermot Martin is that while he's the patron of all of the Catholic schools in his diocese, it is the religious teaching orders and their trusts, such as IRST, the Christian Brothers Trust, who have a different point of view and a different mindset, and they are, as far as I can see, they're not in any way willing to transfer property that they have and which could be used for other purposes.
David Quinn of the Iona Institute, what is that reluctance, that resistance on the part of those who are in charge or who operate these schools to hand over, to divest their control over them?
Yeah, I mean, just a quick point of information first, it's more accurate to call Iona Christian rather than Catholic, one of our patrons of the Church of Ireland Bishop. But in any case, in answer to your question, I think Rory Quinn probably put his finger on it that, if I understand him correctly, that when in practice it comes to wanting to hand over a specific school, a certain amount of local resistance seems to build up because people don't know quite what it will mean. Will it inconvenience them? I mean, if a Catholic, you know, let's say there's a Catholic school just down the road, are happy with their children going there. And next minute on a given morning, the school changes and they've got to go to a school a bit further away. And I think he's right to call for more leadership because, and this leadership has to come not just from the churches, but also has to come from local politicians who may have to engage in some kind of an education campaign in their local communities to explain why it is ultimately in everybody's interests to have a certain percentage of schools yet to be properly determined, divested and handed to new patron bodies. And there's going to have to be compromises that not everybody is going to like what's going to happen, because some people will be somewhat inconvenienced when they have to send their child to a Catholic school that's a bit further away than the present one. But that's where the leadership comes in. And that's where probably church leaders, including leaders of the religious orders, as well as the bishops, plus local politicians, and any other community leaders, have to get involved in smoothing the way for this to happen. Because it does have to happen, because the current status quo is simply not in the church's interest at all, because the pressure is building up on the present schools, because 90% of the primary schools are under Catholic patronage. That is unsustainable, and the quicker and sooner the church does successfully divest itself of X number of schools, the better it'll be for the churches as well as for broader society.
Why?
So why would it be better for?
Yeah, the Catholic Church and broader society.
Because the pressure on it now in certain parts of the country is growing all the time. I mean, you have people who rightly object to having to have their children baptised in order to get them into the local school, because the local school happens to be Catholic. Rory Quinn says in his article in the Irish Independent today that it could well be a legal case, eventually to come. It could go to the European Court of Human Rights, and it might find against Ireland. It would find against the state, by the way, first and foremost. But why would we want to go there? And, I mean, the second reason is that, why the Catholic Church should kind of expedite this, along with the help of local politicians, is because it would allow the remaining schools to be more true to their Catholic identity. I mean, this is the point that Archbishop Dermot Martin has often made, that there's a kind of weird kind of compromise at the moment whereby you have Catholic schools that are not as Catholic as their patrons might want them to be, and it would be easier for them to be, and same with Church of Ireland schools, by the way, and Presbyterian schools and
it would be easier
for them to be truer to their ethos.
What does that
if
mean?
They handed over more of them.
What does that mean, David, at primary level? How might that ethos be reflected across the curriculum aimed at a four-year-old or a five-year-old?
The Forum on Patronage and Pluralism made certain recommendations about what time of day RE should be taught, what kind of prayers could be said, and at what time of day. And this is to accommodate children of parents who don't share the faith of the school. Obviously, it becomes easier for the schools that, teach RE at whatever time of day it chooses, to have prayers at whatever time of day it chooses, and what have you. If the children of the parents who don't share the faith of the school have a real alternative school in their locality.
Rory Quinn, this, and you've written about this in the Irish Independent today, you say there's always the European Court of Human Rights to which Ireland is a signatory. How does that play into all of this?
Well, I'm gauging the mood of a new generation of parents who are simply refusing to go through the hypocrisy, as they would see it, of having their children baptised in order to get them first preference on the list of a Catholic school nearby. And I'm just relating this frustration to what has happened in the past in other areas where there has been a failure of the state to provide for their rights as citizens in terms of a non-religious education. And we've had similar cases, and they've gone through the process, and we've been obliged to change the way in which we administered education, particularly education for people with special needs. So I'm simply calling on, in the article, and calling on all involved, and I agree with the tone of what David Quinn has outlined. There has to be much more coordinated leadership and concerted leadership on the ground. I don't think it's right, for example, that somebody who's no longer got children in a particular local Catholic primary school should be able to exercise a view that they don't want the school to change when they have no stake or interest in it, whereas there are parents who want an education for their children to have that one that reflects their own ethos at home. Added to all of this, of course, is the population pressure, because every school in the Dublin area virtually is oversubscribed, because when I was minister in the beginning of my term, there was 520,000 pupils in the primary school system. That has gone up by a factor to there are now being 545,000, and most of those are in growing areas. And Dublin has a serious crisis in relation to school provision.
Thank you both very much indeed for talking to us this afternoon.